Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, birthday boy.
The whole Mike Anderson thing, okay? I was thinking about this last night, and I was
old
seething.
Old coaches never die.
Exactly, yeah. Like once you get into that pipeline of the coaching world in any sport, you automatically just continue to get jobs. And wherever Mike Anderson was, he seemingly falls up. Like, I think every time.
I don't know if going from Arkansas to St. John's is falling
up. No,
out,
maybe but not. But
you're
like,
still staying in a. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a well-known enough gig.
Yeah, it's a good gig. I mean, like Mike Anderson, after coaching at Arkansas, not getting the job done at Arkansas, getting fired at Arkansas, probably should have to go be an assistant on somebody's bench in the Valley
NBA.
Or something, or the NBA, or somewhere else.
Usually
like that.
What happens, yeah.
Not just get another job. Now, he was obviously like UCLA trying to hire a coach. He was the fourth choice, it seemed like, over there at St.
John's.
You
heard him there? I didn't hear him there.
No. I'm saying he was the fourth choice
at
St. John's.
I'm sorry. UCLA. Yeah, St. John's, definitely. St. John's was going for all kinds of, like, small school East Coast guys.
Yeah, and none of them wanted the job. Well, they went for Hurley. He said no. And then they went for Tim Kloos at Iona, and he said no. And then they went for a third guy. I forget who it was, but it's a name you know, and he said no. Oh, Porter Moser said no.
Right.
And then they and then they asked for the guy at UMBC who beat Virginia last year in the first round. He didn't even, like, he's like, I'm not even interested in interviewing for your job. And then here's Mike Anderson. I mean, like, you know, just coached at Arkansas. You know, sure, I'll take your job.
Mike Anderson, the once they got down the order, they were left with, and I'm not joking, the rumors were Frank Haith and Mike Anderson.
Those were the two that were left.
That's what I had heard. Yeah, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
We're two former Mizzou coaches are in line for St. John's.
I think if you asked any Mizzou fan who they would rather have as their coach, Quinn Snyder, Frank Haith, Mike Anderson, Kim Anderson, they'd all line up in the Quinn Snyder side of things, and everybody would take Quinn Snyder.
Give that one another chance, over, I guess.
Yeah, and give that another shot, man.
What's also interesting about St. John's, and we were off on a tangent here, they fell into that trap of, like, you hire your all-time best player and it doesn't work.
Oh, and we took him to the tournament this year and they fired him.
That is, like, heart-wrenching, you know? You're like, oh, that's your greatest player in your school's history, man.
Right.
Yeah, to fire the dude.
And he left.
Oh, that stinks.
A year after making it to the tournament for the first time ever.
I just wouldn't do that to yourself. Like, don't hire that guy.
No, you can't hire that guy. You can't. But that's the coaching pipeline, and that's just not in college basketball. I mean, we see it in the NFL. Just look at the New York Jets this year, going after Adam Gase and giving him another opportunity to be a head coach. What did he do in Miami to prove to anybody that he deserved another shot as a head coach?
I don't know, because I didn't see the crazy eyes in Miami that I saw the day I hired him for the Jets.
Oh, my God. Like, that guy looked
like really weird.
Hey, I'm the Jets coach. Who wants to go to a party?
Yeah, so I don't know. He's really creepy.
Wow, that was bizarre. But like certain coaches do deserve another opportunity. Obviously, Andy Reid deserved another opportunity. Bill Belichick, obviously, Parcells. Like, certain guys deserve another opportunity and another gig. But once you get into that pipeline, man, and I don't know, maybe it's like that for every other industry too. I mean, we talk about it sometimes in our industry. Some of these folks that you see getting hired, and you're like, man, that guy was just like in jail or something like that. How's he getting a job? You know, it's like it's really bizarre. I guess once you get into the pipeline, you get the opportunity to continue to be a head coach. But man, Mike Anderson, I tell you what, going to St. John's now, man, they must have been desperate, because he did not do a good job, obviously, at Arkansas. And then Frank Haith. Frank Haith is the ultimate stay ahead of before they're going to fire me guy. Did it in Miami, did it at Missouri, and you mentioned he was in the running for this, trying to do so at Tulsa before the hammer comes down at Tulsa. But, you know, he's still there. He's probably going to get one more year down there. But, man, it's unbelievable how the coaching ranks work. And that's why it bothers me so much that we just don't see any new blood, man, no matter who it is, no matter where it is. And I'll give baseball credit. Hey, you may not know any of these guys that they're hiring to be managers, but at least they're taking a shot on somebody different, and they're not rolling out the same carcasses every year and putting the same old, like, Jack McKeon. I'm shocked he's not a manager somewhere in baseball right now. Shocked he's not managing somewhere.
Is Jack McKeon still well?
No, he's alive.
Are we sure?
Yeah, he's 100% still alive. Yeah, yeah, 100% still alive.
Can you fire up the Google?
Yes, he is 88 years young.
No, he's only, I would have guessed it is not. Is he a bench coach somewhere? Please tell me he's like sitting on Miami's bench, like him and Don Mattingly are down there.
It appears though Trader Jack not working with anybody right now.
Not working with anybody right now.
He is a free agent.
There you go. So he's available for the next team that fires their manager.
But alive.
Yes. Jack McKeon will come in and save you.
I swear if Jack McKeon doesn't make it through the weekend, I'm blaming you.
You're blaming me for that one? Could you imagine him coming in right now in Major League Baseball today? All right, guys, here's what we're going to do.
Like a fat stogie hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah. I'm going to bunt, and you're going to run, and we're going to do wind sprint. Who's with me? And you know he's coming in with the fungo in his back pocket of
his
baseball pants.
Yeah.
That voice really started to deteriorate there at the end.
It went from Lou Brown to a pirate.
Who wants scotch? You know, it's like...
Yarr.
I was talking to Ed Hearn, former Royal, yesterday.
Another good pirate name,
right? I saw him yesterday out at Kansas Speedway. We'll talk about why I was out there a little bit later on. And he said, I listen to you guys every morning, then introduced me as Fescue to people. And so, you know, that's how that went yesterday. But he did say, he goes, I listen to you guys all the time. You guys laugh a ton. And he goes, I love that about your show, that you guys are always laughing and having a good time. And I said, you know what? That's probably the best compliment anybody could pay us. So congratulations, Ryan, for making us laugh. And
thank you.
Congratulations to Ed Hearn for picking up on that. I appreciate that. It's better than, I like your sports take or something like that. Like, these guys just laugh a lot, man.
Nobody ever says that about our sports takes, actually.
They really don't. So congratulations, Mike Anderson. Another job, man. Another job.
An update, I guess, yesterday involving Tyreek Hill.
Well, he temporarily lost custody of his child. I mean, you know, he's no longer allowed to be around
both
his kid. Both parents
did.
Yeah, yes. Both parents temporarily lost custody of the child, which I don't know if he's with a grandparent or where he is right now, the three-year-old boy that Tyreek Hill has. It's not a good look, man, no matter how you slice it and no matter what you want to say, if you're a big Tyreek Hill defender or if you are not a Tyreek Hill defender, there's no good way to put it. You lost custody of your
child. However long the investigation has taken, which has been quite a while, I don't want to say culmination of it, but you're to this stage, and they're like, we just had to make sure the kid's safe.
Yeah, we got to take the kid away now.
It's almost like I still don't know fully what happened, but we got to remove the kid from home.
We don't trust you right now to have a child in your home. And so, you know, he was in court, obviously, this week, and Channel 5 caught up with him, and he had no comment to say about anything like that. But right now, now the ball for me is in the NFL's hands and really in the Chiefs' hands, too. And I think maybe more so in the NFL hands to remove the Chiefs from this. But Tyreek Hill needs to be put on temporary leave, suspended, however you want to phrase it, until all of this is done. Because now this is becoming a lot more serious than we thought maybe a couple of days ago, Josh. And I don't think any of us really knew, you know, where it was. I talked to some people about this, and people were like, we have no idea what's going on. This was before we saw that the custody of his child was taken away. And I think they just need to put him on temporary leave right now so he can get all of this stuff figured out. What you're doing off the field right now with your family and with your child is a lot more important than being at Arrowhead Stadium working out. Because now, once you lose custody of your child, well, number one, there's no guarantees you're getting your kid back. Number two, there's no guarantees you're going to be cleared of things. And number three, there's no guarantees that you're going to be playing football this year. This has now become a situation that is bigger than football and that is bigger than going to work every day. You need to get your ish figured out. And if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL, I say, sorry, Tyreek Hill, you are now indefinitely suspended until these off-the-field allegations are cleared up. And if everything's cleared up and everything's good to go, then you're welcome back with open arms. But if not, then we've got to decide how we're going to proceed moving forward on this. So I think that's what they need to do, not because I'm accusing Tyreek Hill of being guilty before proven guilty or anything like that, but because he needs to get it figured out, and you can't get things figured out if you're focused on lifting weights and running in a playbook as opposed to getting your life together right now. And Tyreek Hill needs to get his life together right now.
Chiefs GM Brett Veach spoke to the media yesterday. His pre-draft press conference had the opportunity to discuss Tyreek Hill and chose not to.
Yeah, Coach kind of said it on Monday. I mean, I don't really have anything to say, you know, in that. I think it's going to, you know, work itself out here, and we'll deal with the information as it comes. But like I said, there's nothing I'd probably be in the position to say right now on that.
Okay. No one in the organization has a position to say on anything.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they do,
look
but they
there,
can't.
Look over there. Yeah. Look over there. Just keep pointing the finger, whatever, and I don't know. I don't know who's the spokesman on this.
Seems to be, to me, it should be the general manager, but apparently it's the coach who then
doesn't have anything to say and gets agitated when he's asked about it. So I guess that's where we stand.
I think in this situation, in the way that the hierarchy of the Chiefs is set up, Brett Veach is the general manager, but Andy Reid is the face of the organization, if that makes sense. Like, Andy Reid is the guy that needs to be responsible for everything in there. It's Andy Reid. This isn't Adam Gase. This isn't, you know, a first-year head coach that you've never heard of before. This isn't somebody who just, you know, fell off the turnip truck and has his first gig in the NFL. When you're a guy like Andy Reid, when you're a guy like Bill Belichick, and we'll talk about Tom Coughlin throughout the morning, too, in his comments down in Jacksonville, when love him. His comments were tremendous. I mean, the guy's won two Super Bowls. You probably should listen to what he says.
It's that whole thing's ridiculous that the NFL has to be mad about it.
The NFL's mad. They may fine Tom Coughlin for his comments. But, you know, the guy's won two Super Bowls. So if Tom Coughlin tells me as a football player, you know, to jump out of a plane naked, I'm going to jump out of a plane naked because the man has won two Super Bowls. You're not going to do that.
I understand
that.
If you think Andy Reid should be the face of whatever, but I'm guessing Brett Veach deals with this more on a day-to-day basis than Andy Reid does.
Andy Reid's off
scribbling plays somewhere. So the GM should be the spokesperson on this, and he punted it back to Andy. It's a great NFL game that's been happening for a long time. You could just punt it back and forth, coach and GM, and then never get any answers. And that's basically what they're doing.
I think if you have a GM that's like a Carl Peterson type, Josh, or somebody that is a big figurehead, then yes. I don't believe that Brett Veach really is the spokesperson or quote unquote the figurehead. I think he's the GM in title only. And Andy is the spokesperson. Like, I don't want to hear Mark Donovan on this. I don't care what he has to say. I don't necessarily even want to hear from Clark.
He's not dealing with it. I think Brett. Who do you think's dealing with
Andy?
I don't think Andy is. No, you heard Vic yesterday. Basically, Andy's off in the corner scribbling Pat plays. I think they have to pry him out of the drawing up plays for Pat portion of his day.
Is there a room that says Pat plays?
To actually look at the draft. Yeah, so he says he's got a note card of Pat plays.
Yeah, I know.
That's what he's doing.
And Pat plays is funny, though.
I think they run some stuff by him or whatever. I think he delineates everything. Spags, you're over there doing the defense. Veach, you're over there doing that thing. I feel like this one falls in the GM. I just wish someone would be a spokesperson.
Well, and that's the problem.
If there's a crisis,
who do you go to?
Speaks?
Ted.
None of them.
Yeah, none of them do.
And we've seen that. And Clark's in the same boat.
Right. Well, we saw that if with Belcher, and they weren't even in charge.
If there's something major going on, there is no one there to speak. There's no one. There's no accountability anymore. There's no one to step out front and say, I got this. I will handle this discussion.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it differs with the Royals. When something happens, Dayton's right there. Yeah. I mean, like, let's go back to the Duffy situation, the last quote-unquote crisis that they had. They held a press conference that day. They had Duffy's on the stand there. They had Dayton up there. They all answered the questions, and they were held accountable and answered questions like that. You're right in that sense.
We're going to stick with our statement from 3 weeks ago,
right?
And then the GM saying we're going to stick with the coach's comments about sticking to the quotes from 3 weeks ago.
And that should tell you right there who's in charge of the organization. It is Andy Reid.
I don't care. I'm just saying I don't care. They all just
right,
and passed it down the line. It's silly.
Did we know this information at this time yesterday, though? Like, was it out that Tyreek Hill had lost custody of his kid when Veach spoke? Because Veach spoke at 11:30.
They asked him something about did the NFL go to the Overland Park Police Bar, whatever that story was. I think it was the question.
Yeah, KCTV5 had the story first where they were, like, following him into the courtroom appeared to be a standard.
So this was out before Veach spoke yesterday.
I believe if it wasn't, maybe a half an hour.
Veach was, at 11:30. Yeah. So I'm not saying, but the question definitely was about...
Correct.
The NFL investigating.
I mean, I guess the way that I would...
I just wish there would be an actual spokesperson on something involving the organization.
Like, what do you want them to say at this point? Like... They
don't have to tell me everything they know, but those little, it's chicken bleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's not handling things like.
Well, I am curious if it's a legal issue. Like, if you can't say things and you don't want to put your foot in your mouth because of a legal issue. But it seems like the Chiefs' kind of MO for handling things like this is we would rather admit later that we didn't know a few things, and we wanted to back our guy and give him the benefit of the doubt.
I think you're wrong on that. The Chiefs want to act like nothing happened, and they don't want you to think anything has happened. They want you to ignore it, and they want to ignore it in hopes that it goes away. I think that's where they are. I mean, that's the way the organization handled the Javon Belcher situation, and that was before Brett Veach and Andy Reid were even blips on the radar screen, okay? That was under the old regime. That's how this organization handled that crisis. That was an embarrassment by this organization. Sly James was the spokesperson for the Jovan Belcher stuff.
What do you want them to do, though? Speak in speculative terms?
No, like, I think when a player shoots himself in the parking lot, the owner needs to be out there addressing the issue.
I'm talking about the Tyreek Hill situation. Like, what do you want them to say?
Right now, I don't want them to say anything because I don't know what there is to say because nobody really knows
anything.
So then
what are we talking about here? Like Brett Veach didn't say anything yesterday.
I'm just going to pan this off on Andy, who blabbled through saying nothing, is handling a situation? I don't think it is.
I mean, I guess there's a better way of saying we're not going to say something.
There is, and they don't do it.
No, they don't lie good. They really don't. Like, they don't lie well in that organization.
This is a difficult situation. It is being handled by the NFL. It is being handled by the courts. We're waiting to see what has happened. We're in constant communication with Tyreek Hill. We're here to support him. We're here to support the process. Whatever. Andy, I think, covered it on Monday. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't. He said we covered it in a memo 3 weeks before that. That's not handling things. They're not very good at that. That's all I'm saying. They're not very good at that at all. Your chance to get registered for the great Mother's Day prize pack. We do it every day through May the 7th at 6:15, 7:15, 8:15, and 9:15. And your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
4 times today, you're going to get a chance to get registered for the Mother's Day prize pack. Right now, 7:15, 8:15, 9:15. And through May 7th as well, your chance to get registered on the 15s throughout our show for a great Mother's Day prize pack.
Yeah, it features a day of beauty, if you will, over at the Spa on Penn. You'll have an entire day there over in Westport, the Spa on Penn. You'll have a night stay at the Westin Crown Center and dinner as well from the folks over at Westin Crown Center. So you've got yourself a perfect Mother's Day package to get registered for. And I know your mom or your wife or your girlfriend or your fiance or the most important woman in your life wants that Mother's Day package. How can they win, Ryan?
Super simple. All you have to do is listen. Something you're currently doing. Just listen for this.
I love my mama very much.
When you hear that, be caller number 6-913-576-7610. I will get you registered to win that Mother's Day prize pack. Again, as Bob mentioned, 4 times a day is your chance to get registered all the way through May 7th. 6:15, 7:15, 8:15, 9:15. Nobody cares about you like we do.
Nobody.
You don't even have to tell your mom you won this thing.
No, you can just say you bought it for
her. You can say you bought it. We won't tell. I assure you of that.
Yeah, because we don't know your mom. Well, maybe some of your moms we do, but we won't tell.
I'm assuming Kling knows most of their moms.
Yeah, Kling, well, he's as old as most of their moms.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. It's the fantasy pick to pop. Each and every Friday at this time, we make a fantasy pick for the weekend. Monday at 6:15, you tell us who had the best fantasy pick of the three of us for the weekend, and you can win a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices from Smokehouse Barbecue. We're going to go with who hits the Royals' most home runs this weekend.
Yeah.
Today, tomorrow, and Sunday, who will have the best home run weekend for the Royals at Yankee Stadium.
Am I still tops here? Do I still get the first pick because I got Tiger last? Remember when I picked Tiger?
Tiger last week. Pretend like you don't remember
you
that.
You just said that just so you could point out that you took Tiger last
week, like
you, didn't
you? You don't remember
Remember
that.
When I took Tiger last week, guys?
No, I don't recall that at all.
Twice I picked it. I'm going to go with Hunter Dozier. I just kind of feel like he's the hot hand right now for the Royals.
Took my pick.
Did I? Did. Good. Yeah, I'm glad I did. Good, man. Good. That's what happens when you get the first pick. You could go Kyler Murray or you could go with somebody legit. So I'm taking Hunter Dozier.
Well, I guess as the guy that took Brooks Koepka, who almost won the Masters.
Well, he really won. He won everything, though. I don't know if you've seen the Instagram pictures on the beach with him and his fiance nude.
Oh, is he doing it for the Insta?
Oh, my God. His fiance girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
Oh. Golfers have insanely hot girlfriends and wives.
Maybe the best. Maybe
the
best.
I don't know. NASCAR's really giving it a run for its money. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
There's something going on there that I'm not really sure.
Now that I shared the pits with some of these guys yesterday, I understand.
What?
Yep. I consider myself a NASCAR driver now.
Ryan, you're stalling. Make your pick.
I'm not stalling. I'm just shocked that Bob considers himself a NASCAR driver.
Did I not drive a NASCAR yesterday?
Jorge Soler. Yes, you did.
Okay, then I'm a NASCAR driver.
You're not a NASCAR driver.
It's not what they told me. I got a certificate.
Jorge Soler.
You're going to go with Jorge Soler.
I love my mama very much.
Then I guess I will go with Ryan O'Hearn.
Oh, that's a good pick, too. That's a nice pick.
Ryan O'Hearn, because he's a Royal. It's a good pick. Yeah.
No.
Is he going to be in there against lefties?
There's nine.
You got a lefty going this week?
CC Sabathia tonight.
I don't think he's going to be in there tonight.
Well, I still think that's a good pick, though. That's a sneaky good pick.
Oh, it's supposed to rain tonight, I think.
So. It may get washed out tonight. Yeah. Anyway.
So remember, it's a bad pick by you, Quick. Monday, Bob takes Hunter Dozier. Ryan takes Jorge Soler, and I have Ryan won't hit lefties O'Hearn. Remember those three picks. You have the best fantasy weekend. You tell us Monday at 6:15, your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. Goat saying goat was Goaty.
Goaty,
is
there
that,
you go.
That how this breaks down?
Do goats baa or do they neigh? Or what does a goat do? Like, how does a goat sound? Like, is that a goat?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like Goat Boy.
Yeah.
SNL, yes.
Yeah, so the GOAT, Michael Jordan, is the GOAT. I think when you say the GOAT, you have to specify that it is Michael Jordan still. Brady's
Jordan,
right there.
Jordan, Brady.
Brady's kind of the GOAT's kid right now. Brady's a little bit young. Is Brady younger than MJ? Do we know? does anybody really know?
No. They're about the same age.
Is he younger than MJ? So he said it was the greatest comeback of all time that he's ever seen.
He says a GOAT sound is a bleat. That is correct.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
A what?
A bleat.
A bleat?
Yes.
Bleat!
Bleat. Yes, bleat.
That's true. So he said that the comeback that Tiger made on Sunday, and really where Tiger's made over the last 11 years, is the greatest comeback that he ever saw, and really went on even to reference the 2 years that he was, you know, deciding to play baseball instead of, you know, playing basketball.
Suspended, yes.
And so he talked about coming back after 2 years, and that's nothing compared to what Tiger Woods had to do with the 11 years of not winning a major. And to hear it from Michael Jordan, man, it really does put it in perspective. You and I can talk about it. We can say it's a great comeback. But when you have the greatest of all time legitimately say, man, that's the greatest comeback I've ever seen, it really does mean a heck of a lot more coming from Michael Jordan than it does from anybody else. And it really goes to show you, too, how great a comeback it truly was, that here we are now on Friday. This happened on Sunday, and people are still talking about that Tiger moment. I mean, that just goes to show you, Josh, that Tiger Woods is so much bigger than the game of golf and maybe so much bigger than sports itself that a week after winning this golf tournament, everybody is still talking about how great it was.
Well, also, MJ is a friend of Tiger's, and they might have only found him at this point in time to get a quote from him. Well,
maybe he's working on the playoffs or something or Charlotte.
Yeah, or wherever yeah. whatever he's particularly doing
right now.
But
Nance is still talking about it. Like, everybody's still talking about it. I mean,
well, what's Nance got to do?
No, he's on vacation now till August.
Right.
Yeah, so he's just got
Nance
time.
Is off until training camp.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's this big thing. I don't know. But MJ saluting it is pretty big.
It's
cool. Because he knows him personally, and he knows what he's been through and all those things and whatever status of friendship they're in now, because I think that was one that's been kind of up and down.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah,
I thought it was Stand By Your Man.
No, I think all those guys kind of operate in their own little sphere, and sometimes they fall away, and I don't think Tiger's weird.
Right, yeah. So is that. MJ doesn't tip.
And MJ's pretty weird, too, so, yeah, I think that they've been around.
Waffle
around.
House together, and MJ
so one goat
pick up the tab.
Weighed in, another goat weighed in, the other goat did weigh in, because remember, Brady did, too.
Yeah, so. Brady did, too, so all the goats are weighing
all
in.
The goats weighed in on goat.
That's right.
And they thought it was Goaty.
It was Goaty.
Or very something good. Like that.
Wouldn't you like to be on that Mount Rushmore of Tiger, Brady, Michael Jordan, and Nance?
By the way, the goat sound is called a bleat.
Thank you for listening.
John and KCK got himself registered for the Mother's Day prize pack. Your next chance to get qualified coming up at 7:15.
It's answering phones.
69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Anything you want to riff on. And why Bob does consider himself a NASCAR driver. Next.
I hate you guys.
Fesco in the morning.
On the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. There's a few very good ones already coming in today.
Oh,
so
good.
We'll get to some of those topics coming up. But Bob wanted to explain why he believes He is now a NASCAR driver.
Yeah, I got to go out to Kansas Speedway yesterday, and they have a new NASCAR driving experience out there. They've basically taken all the different driving schools, Josh, and merged them into one to the NASCAR racing experience. And a couple of weeks ago, Kelly Hale, who works out at the Speedway in charge of public relations and whatnot out there, she sends me a message. You want to come out to the Speedway and do one of these ride-alongs? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll be out there, whatever. I went in with the mindset of thinking that I was going to be just kind of riding along in a car, right? I didn't think I was going to be actually driving this car. So I get out there, and then I start to look around. Frank White's out there, Ed Hearn, Jamie Bluma, some of these other cats are out there. I'm like, wow, what's going on out here today? What is this? They're like, oh, you're going to get to drive this car. And I talked to our pal Ryan Westward from 98.9 The Rock, and I said, oh, cool, man, because he's a big NASCAR guy, does a lot of work for the Speedway. I said, have you done this before? He goes, yeah, it's kind of cool. You'll drive the car. There'll be a guy sitting next to you basically controlling everything, but it'll be like you're in control of this car. I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool. And then come to find out, you're in the car alone driving around the track at Kansas Speedway. So needless to say, I was nervous as all get out, Josh. My stomach started to churn. The butterflies were going, legitimately like sweating through a pair of jeans that I was wearing. I'm like, oh my God, this is not good. I don't know. I'm looking for a way to try to get out of this thing at this point. Like, how can I get out of this thing, right?
Diarrhea.
Yes.
Ryan usually says.
Yes,
diarrhea gets you out of everything.
Right, yes. And so I'm like, oh, I got a finance meeting I need to get to or something like that. Like, right. I'm just creating things in my mind that I need to get to.
When
to,
in doubt,
to, yeah, that's
use
right.
Finance.
Use
yeah.
finance.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got to get out of this thing, right? And so we finally get to the track after watching like half hour long video and then another 30 minutes of a question and answer about how we're going to drive. And I'm like, oh my God, I am not ready for this. And then they go, who can drive a stick? And I'm like, well, I can't drive a stick. And they go, that's okay.
You thought you were going to get out of it right then and there.
Right? Like, oh, my God, I'm out of this thing.
It's like
right?
Get out of jury duty.
Right. And I'm not kidding. I was scared to death. And so I'm like, all right. So they call my name. I put the helmet on. I get into this car. And I'm nervous, man. I am so freaking nervous. And there's nobody in the car. You're doing it all by yourself. And you got a guy up in the tower that's radioing to you like you're actually driving on the track. And you're actually in a race. And so I get to the first lap, and I'm kind of going slow. The guy's like, you can give it some gas now. I'm like, all right, fine. And so by the time I
you can give it some gas.
Right. I finally get around, you know, a couple of times. And you're really feeling confident at that point in time. And I got it up to the 5,000 RPMs, and I hit 154.04 miles per hour around Kansas Speedway. It doesn't feel like you're going that fast in these cars. And from going from nervous to trying to get out of it, I'm going from now, I want to go back out and do it again. And it was unbelievable. And we're going to be giving away one of these experiences in the future here on the show. But I think you go to NASCARRacingExperience.com and check it out. And I'm telling you what, man, if you're a dude, even if you're a gal and you want to get a great thrill, this is awesome. And Josh, you're going, I'm not doing that. And that's kind of how I was about 15 hours ago.
I did the truck one time.
Yeah,
on an I-70, and it was the most terrifying experience I've ever been.
This is awesome.
Did you have to crawl in the window?
There was a person in the car with me. I don't want any part of it. He kept telling me to speed up, and I'm like, no, I'm good. I gripped the wheel like nobody's business. I was doing like 35 around the track. It was awful.
No, you got to go do this because I felt the same way as you. And then I started doing it. And I'm like, I need more.
I just don't think I could talk myself.
Cool, he got his hazards on the whole time.
It was terrible. I'm like, I was really moving out there, wasn't I? That was terrifying. And they're like, no, you weren't.
He's got his arm out there.
Go around. Go around.
I'm safely, you know, speeding on local roads.
Now, I did get passed twice out there. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't like I was, you know, flooring it or anything.
Was there
like
someone
that
was like super aggressive though?
Well, there was like Daryl Stuckey was out there racing, former KU and San Diego Charger football player. He just moved back to Lawrence and whatnot. And there was a bunch from the K-State football program out there. I don't know who was who.
You catch the plate of whoever passed you?
No, I don't know who it was, but man, it was incredible. I know I got faster than Frank White, and I know I was faster than my man Jeff Roberts, who's a local camera guy in town that's worked for a couple of TV stations. So I know I was faster than a couple of people. I didn't lose the race.
Congratulations,
Bob. That really matters. Don't finish last.
And I'm looking around that room like, who can I beat here today? That's, I can beat that guy.
I've always heard if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, but
in racing, especially.
Especially in racing, but this is incredible. Everybody has to do this thing, man. It was like, it was an unbelievable just kind of rush and thrill that I got from doing that. And I would highly suggest it to everyone, even me, this, like, I don't have like an adventuresome bone in my body. And I was so nervous, but at the end, I'm like, I can't wait to go back and do it again. Ryan, you got to come out and do this thing, man.
Will I fit in the window? That's
the big question. Yeah, I think you will.
I got stuck in one once.
Okay, that's enough. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. I posted a video on my Facebook page. You can take a look at it because they give you a flash drive of your whole race, too. You can watch it. It's awesome, man. A great experience.
Seriously, I did get stuck in a NASCAR at the Speedway once. It was terrible.
They have the jaws of life to get you out.
It reminded me of childhood because, you know, like whenever we built forts as a kid, I'd have to be the one that used the door first to see if it was big enough for me to get through.
Gotcha. Jamie Bluma got in the car. If he can get in the car, you can get in the car.
That's Bluma's in great shape.
What yeah, he is. Yes.
What you're talking about. Let's see here. I guess I actually have to open the text line. Happy birthday, Robert. I hope you get a good birthday. I can't say that.
Okay. Well, thank you very
much.
I hope
you get a good birthday present, Bob.
I hope so, too. We'll see. I hope so, too. Thank you very much.
Interesting. How the bleep do car seats expire?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
Because they sit in your hot car, and apparently the plastic degrades over time. This is what my wife's told me, too, and I just roll my eyes at her.
I think that's the excuse for selling more of them, because otherwise we'd just pass them down from
generation to generation,
friend to friend, and whatever, and yeah. we wouldn't be buying new seats.
I mean, I'd like to use the one that my parents used with me with the cigarette burns in it. You know, like I don't see
a
problem.
I don't think you need to go back that far, but you know, if your kid's two, and moving up to the next seat or whatever,
there's no hand-me-downs.
You're not supposed to hand it down to somebody,
right? Well, that's because they know they'll never sell another new one.
I'm breaking all the rules. Yeah, I don't
exactly
care. Rules are made to be broken. 913 says 3 weeks ago, I was told I have a high probability of being the biological father of a boy who will be turning 20 in June.
Oh wow!
I'm meeting up with his older brother today with a DNA kit to hopefully solve this situation. Wish me luck.
Do you?
Wow! You should call Springer or something and get yourself on a show.
No, it's more. Maury.
No, how would you feel, though, if, like, for 20 years you didn't know you had a kid out there and you just got the opportunity to meet him? I'd be pretty upset about that, knowing that I missed out on that entire childhood, because as you're going through it now and I'm going through it, and you're going, it goes so dang fast, man, and to not be part of that at all would stink.
816, what was the last year you could be born and know what a pound sign is? I heard that actually the other day.
Instead
I was
of
on
a hashtag?
Yeah. I was on like an automated thing where you had to like, you know, punch in your account number and stuff. And it said punch in your account number followed by the pound sign or hash symbol.
No, they didn't say
100%
that.
100%
did. That's smart.
That's good. 86. I'm going to say 86.
Yeah.
I feel like you were old enough to still remember what a dial tone was then. I don't think my kids ever even heard a dial tone.
Kids don't even know what a payphone is now. They look at them every once in a while. You'll see one of my kids like, what's that? I'm like, well, it's a payphone.
816 says, I don't casserole enough.
No, nobody does. It's
I don't
hard.
Like casseroles.
They take a while to make, but they last forever.
Over casserole as a child, I don't care to ever do it again.
Oh, did you? Well, that's an Iowa thing,
interesting.
Right?
913 says, for the billionth day in a row, my cats are not constipated.
That's good. That's good. You don't want to constipate.
I feel
a cat.
Like every now and again, because our cat's litter box is down in the in like the laundry room area, and so I have to go down to the laundry room and grab something. And every time I go down there, he's always taking a dump. And every time he's doing it, he just, like, looks me right in the eyes.
Well, what do you do when your kids barge in on you? You look them right in the eye?
Tell him to get out of here.
Yeah, get out. Well, the cat can't speak.
Okay. Let's see here. It's my anniversary day. Shout
happy
out to
anniversary.
Jay. I'm a lucky man, to say the least.
There you go. Happy anniversary, you guys.
I assume you're lucky because she puts up with you. If IHOP sells waffles, why doesn't Waffle House sell pancakes? Great question.
Because it's in your name. I think they're sticking to what they do.
Yeah, but they also, the Waffle House, everybody talks about the hash browns. Nobody mentions the waffles, you know.
Interesting. 816 asks, do you guys celebrate 420?
That's my mother-in-law's birthday.
I celebrate 419. That's Bob's birthday.
That's my birthday. 420.
Congratulations, Bob.
420 tomorrow is my mother-in-law's birthday, so happy birthday, Pam. You're the best mother-in-law anybody could ever ask for, so I appreciate you.
That's a lie, Pam. You should hear how he talks about you behind your back.
Yeah.
620 asks, what's your favorite Easter candy?
The Reese's peanut butter eggs.
Yeah, those are fantastic.
I like the peanut butter tree at Christmas time. I feel like it has a better distribution of chocolate to peanut butter ratio. Plus, it gives you, like, notched, like, areas to bite into.
Did you see the Cadbury egg controversy?
I will yield to Ryan on his expertise on this one, Bobby.
I will, yeah, that's
I'm
fine.
Taking Ryan's.
I had an explanation. Yeah, no, Rolo is the answer we were looking for. Jelly bean, too. Jelly beans are
probably
great.
Really researched this, so I'm definitely.
No, there's no research. It's a lot of, like, just firsthand experience.
Did you see the Cadbury egg controversy that's going on right now?
What?
Yeah, the Cadbury egg, you can get, like, you know, three for a dollar or whatever, right? There's a soccer team over in London who put their logo around it in a cardboard box. They're selling it for $7. People are irate.
Someone says, I was born in 90. I lived through the dial tone and pound signs, maybe closer to 96.
Maybe. Okay. All right.
Sure. Whatever. 96.
I mean, I still had a home phone in the early 2000s.
I had an answering machine when I met my wife, and that was 08.
I mean, just go back and watch Seinfeld episodes if you want to know what life was like before it is now.
That's me and my roommate. We had a great outgoing
answering
machine message.
Hi, this is Ryan. And Bill, we're not here right now.
I think it was more vulgar than that. That's all I got for you.
That is today's edition of Shout It Out.
Shout out to all the people that came out to the Fesca in the Morning happy hour yesterday. There was a lot going on there.
Fesca?
There really was a lot.
The Fesca in the Morning?
Yeah, there was a lot going on there is right. We had a good time.
Our key play coming up and... the smokescreen that is the press conference before the draft took place yesterday. We'll hear from Brett Veach next.
Fesco in the Morning.
Time for the Key Play, brought to you by Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio, open in the Crossroads. Breakfast, lunch, a cater breakfast and lunch as well. Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. We go to puck.
Ruba run into by Schwartz. That allows Steen to get in. Blues continue the battle. Another 20 seconds to go. It's lost along the wing. Grabbed by Bozak. He centers. They score! Jaden Schwartz has put the Blues on top 3-2. 15 seconds to go in regulation as the Blues forward check their way to the lead.
May the Schwartz be with you.
How
at the
about
call
that?
On KMOX as the St. Louis Blues a winner in the NHL playoffs.
The best part about that is they were down 2-0 going into the third period, and they end up winning the game with 15 seconds to go.
3-2. Yep.
Is there anything more like sad for a play-by-play announcer than have a big call like that and the entire building dead?
Because the home calls are so over the top because
You
have the horns and everything.
The horn and the cheering. And then you have one of those on the road, and it's like you're yelling and the whole place can hear you.
I don't remember who it was and which game it was, but there was one of those where they had the camera on the guys who's making the call kind of things, you know? And it was on the road or whatever, and it's kind of an over press box, and he's like screaming and yelling.
Yeah,
and the fans
guy.
Would turn around like...
Yeah.
Giving the bird and stuff. Like, he's apparently the only one speaking as the road team picked up a win.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a much different call, home or away. But the Blues will take it, right?
Absolutely.
A road victory, 3-2.
Absolutely. And so now they have a win in that series. Every road team has won that series, which is bizarre, too. Like, all the road teams are winning in the NHL playoffs. The calls are still really, really good in the playoffs, even if the building is totally... against you. Like that guy, Chris Kerber, he had to watch his back on the way out. Like, nobody wanted to see that guy.
Yeah. You gotta,
especially when you blow a 2-0 lead in the third period, too. That sucks.
You got to sneak out for that guy. Yesterday, the pre-draft press conference by GM Brett Veach. And a lot of times we joked, like, these are all like smoke screen and they're just trying to throw you off the scent. Who was it that called the, which GM was it that said, basically, I've come here to lie to you? Or
I forget who it was, but like last week, he said, I'm having my lying press conference or whatever it was. It was great.
I didn't feel like, I feel like Veach answered it, you know, like you're going to answer. There's a lot of good players in this draft. We think it's good at this, this, and this. We could go anywhere but quarterback with our first pick.
And they're going to go quarterback with their first pick. No.
So, I mean, I think that also the Chiefs are in that position where they can do that. Right?
Yeah.
They can go any number of directions, but
it's funny how the closer we get to the draft, Josh, the more holes we realize that this team truly has, you know, and especially now with Tyreek Hill and the situation
about holes,
there.
But I think that they can be helped at any position.
Yeah. But
I don't find a lot of glaring needs right now. And I think we discount as well, because Veach talked about a lot yesterday about a lot of the younger players.
Sure.
Like if we don't see them.
Mm-hmm. We don't think they exist.
Right.
Yeah, like Breland Speaks.
Right.
Or Tano Passanio or whoever.
And he's counting a lot on Armani Watts, who got injured last year. I know that's been a Ryan guy for a while. But
well-dressed Armani
Watts. Those types that are kind of out of sight, out of mind. Like, oh, yeah, that guy. You know, we're talking about the wide receivers, and, like, we really like Byron Pringle. Oh, yeah, that's right. The kid out of K-State that ended up, he had a really good preseason, remember, got injured, and they put him on IR for the year. You're like, okay, there's a young, you know, a lot of those younger players, especially that you don't know about, they can develop.
I'm telling you, DeMarcus Robinson is going to be large this
year. They all can develop, and DeMarcus Robinson would be an example, kind of a bit player up until now. They can develop into something, so we tend to forget those types that the obviously the clubs don't.
Well, and I think it's just funny because once the season ended and we lost to the Patriots, like it was immediately, like, we got to draft defense again, defense, defense, defense. And then as the process has moved along, we're like, oh, I wouldn't be surprised if they take a tight end at number 29. Yeah. I wouldn't be mad if Fant's there, if they take him at number 29, that'd be a good pick and they can utilize. Like, it's amazing how you kind of just adjust your thinking as you go along. And we'll hear from Veach in a minute, but I was reading something about Dave Gettleman, the Giants general manager, who I just can't get enough of ever since the way he drank the water and that press conference and the way that he's kind of gone about his business. I can't get enough of just watching this guy. He's very animated, and he said something yesterday.
Really going off on that water.
Yeah, the water stuff to me was unbelievable. But he said yesterday,
it's like there was a secret prize at the bottom of the bottle of water.
Yeah, like, you know, like I've never seen anybody drink water like that before.
Like a Cracker Jack's bottle of water.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's a tattoo in the bottom. Let me get to this thing, and slamming bottles. Like, he had four bottles lined up yesterday on the podium. And he said something yesterday. He goes, you know, if you start drafting for need, you fail at your draft, and you will take bad picks if you start drafting for need. Right. And we've always heard guys talk about, you know, the best available player, and we always mock that as one of the great cliches. But that really is the way you have to draft. And I think that's the way the Chiefs, since Andy Reid has become the head coach and taken over this organization, they have 100% drafted the best available player at that time, regardless of position. And it started with Dee Ford. It started with, you know, the guy they took number one overall when they had the first pick, and Eric Fisher. I mean, they have always, always, always drafted that best available player. And that's the way you do have to do it, because why would you want to pass on a player that's at a position that you may not need today, but you could need tomorrow to reach for a guy who may not be a first round talent, but you feel like you need to take somebody at that spot. So you reach for that guy, and then he becomes a failure, and then you look like a stooge. And so you've got to take the best available player, not even a position of need anymore. You just got to take the best available player in that draft, because if you start drafting for need, Gettleman's right, you start to fail.
Yeah, Veach said something.
We got to have a quarterback.
To that extent yesterday, too, that you know, part of free agency is supplementing those spots to prevent you from reaching in the draft.
Oh, that's yeah.
That if you can get the, you know, those savvy free agent signings that cover some spots, so I don't have to take a second round guy in the first.
Correct.
Or a third round, or a second round guy in the third, those types of things. So the free agency can help in that aspect as well.
Yeah.
That's how they treat it. But Veach described the strengths of this year's draft.
The O and D line, I think it's pretty strong. I think in that first round, you're going to see a lot of defensive linemen off the board early. Certainly the quarterbacks that have been talked about, I think, will go. And then after that, I think you have a really strong early pocket of defensive linemen. And then I think tackle. I think there's a nice wave of tackles, four or five guys that are going to go pretty early. I think there's some depth in the second, third, and fourth round at wideout and at tight end, which would be helpful to us. And then I think the corner, the corner class is strong. There might not be that top 10 guy that you have every year, but I think it's deep in rounds 1, 2, and 3. I think the linebacker class and safety class is a little thin, if I'm being honest, but I think everywhere else there's some really good depth.
Cool.
I like
what
to
you
hear
think.
That, yeah.
So what you think of the draft? Defensive line, offensive tackles very strong, as are corners, and there's some depth at wide receiver and tight end, and linebacker and safety a little bit thin.
You know, the
okay.
Key to me for Brett Veach right there, and I don't know if you guys caught this, he goes, there's depth at wide receiver and tight end, which will be helpful to us.
Well, I think regardless, it is a need.
Yeah, it is.
But, yeah.
100% a need. 100%, both positions are going to be a need in this draft for the Kansas City Chiefs. D-line, obviously, people have talked about the D-line for a very long time. And Binkley was on that Ferguson kid, that Jalen Ferguson out of Louisiana, Lafayette, or wherever it is. He's kind of plummeted, you know, down the draft board. You don't hear much about him. He may be a guy that you could now get in the second round where it looked like he's the NCAA all-time sack leader, but for whatever reason, he's just not hitting all the boxes, I guess. He's a guy that you could get probably late in the second round, or I shouldn't say late in the second round, but with one of those second-round picks that the Kansas City Chiefs have. I feel like now, as much as I like that kid and I think he could be a player, I think if you take him at number 29 at that point, you're probably reaching for him at that point in time. So if he's there in the second round when you have a couple of picks, then maybe you take him in the second round. And that goes back to the whole not reaching and not being, you know, set on having to draft at one position. Because if you went in and saying, we need an edge rusher in this draft, and Jalen Ferguson's there at number 29, and he may be their best defensive lineman on the board, but he's rated as a second or a third round talent, and you take him in the first round, and he doesn't produce like a first rounder should, then you've got to wear that as the general manager. Nobody wants to be walking around with, you know, some guy on them as the first round selection what? When he should have been picked in the third round or fourth round.
What? You mark the tape.
He's good.
Your chance to win. 7 o'clock hour prize today, 23rd Street Brewery. $20 gift certificate courtesy of 23rd Street Brewery. Just for listening. We give stuff away each and every day at 7 and 8. And now 9 o'clock as well, just for listening. Details in a couple of minutes. And a second look at the Chiefs schedule with some observations next.
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.